Good morning. For the call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And now the quartet will have a song.
Blowing. There's a time for winter's rain. There's a time for flowers growing and for spring to come again. Beauty is in the meadow. Music is in the air. Blue are the smiling. Springtime comes again. There's a time for grief and sorrow. There's a time for bitter pain. There's the promise of a morrow when there shall be joy again. Beauty is in the meadow. Music is in the smiling heavens, peace reigneth everywhere.
Joy of life awaking lives in the hearts of men.
Symbol of life eternal, when springtime comes again. There's a time for life unending, hope that shall not be in vain. For the veil shall have its rending, springtime shall return again.
Beauty is in the meadow, music is in the air. Blue are the smiles.
Good morning again. First, are there any guests who'd like to be introduced this morning? If not, welcome here, everyone. And there are a few announcements. And before I forget, I am going to ask, Chris had an announcement while he's making his way up here. I will highlight a couple other ones. The Smorg is coming up in 2 weeks. Did you find someone to cook a turkey? So 20 more or so pastries, 20 dozen more, or 20 people to make? All right. So make some pastries and contact Lainey about that. Or Chris, it looks like. and get your appetites ready. Also, that was number 5 and 5A. Number 6, 20s, 30s, 40s, which would include me. There is a potluck happening. Potluck? Yes. Next weekend. It does not say a time on here. Lunch or supper? After church. And so contact Kim and James or Tricia and Shelby or Gary. Lots of people to contact. Also, Sunday School is still holding their fundraiser. I don't know where they are exactly collecting funds, but they are raising funds for school kits and toothpaste and whatever you see up there. MCC school kits. And also, choir rehearsal is coming up in a couple weeks to get ready for Easter and Good Friday, so mark that. And now Chris will come up with an announcement.
Hi. I'd like to highlight number 3 in your bulletins. This Wednesday we'll be having an Ash Wednesday service, which is something new for our congregation. So for those of you who don't know what Ash Wednesday is, it marks the beginning of Lent, which is a period of fasting and repentance in preparation for Good Friday and Easter. And so we'll be having a sort of contemplative service this Wednesday at 7 o'clock for Ash Wednesday.
And also, there's lots of other announcements in the bulletin in the wider church, CMU, Sam's Place, MCC. Everyone's got something going on, so I'm sure someone can find something of that they can help with or take part in there. The camps also have things. So, and turning to the first, number 1, our condolences go out to Neil and Anita Casper on the passing of Neil's brother, Henry Casper, February 11th. Funeral services were this past week in Steinbach. Please keep the family in your prayers during this difficult time, and may God give them comfort and peace. And also, announcement passed to me, Gerhard Braun is in the hospital, so keep him in your prayers as well. I wasn't told which hospital, but he's in the hospital. And also remember to keep in our prayers all the people in personal care homes. And now, I know Ingo has a mic. Is there any other sharing that anyone would have to add, or other announcements, I guess, that I missed? There's one over there, Ingo.
Hi. I would just like to highlight number 14, the World Day of Prayer service will be taking place in Springfield Heights Mennonite Church on Friday at 7 p.m., and Nora and I are participating in it.
So that's just a couple blocks from here. So, and I have one late edition of announcements coming in. Is there anyone else before? All right, here's an update from on Melanie, Kim's sister, and all the updates we've been getting this past week have been very good, but I will read what we have here. Melanie has been in the hospital for 6 weeks now. Although her diagnosis has still not been determined, she continues to improve. She's been transferred from ICU to a higher observation unit, which is a step in a good direction. Since moving to this ward on Wednesday, she's opened her eyes slightly, and we have determined that she can see, read, and follow written instructions. We are amazed. The email said it was also amazing she could read Guy's handwriting. So that was, I thought that was kind of funny. Physiotherapy attempted to sit her up in a special chair for 15 minutes one day. She's extremely aware, understands everything, and follows given instructions, hand and head gestures to let the family medical staff know her news, her needs. As she has a tracheostomy and is breathing well on her own, the ability to speak will be facilitated by the speech-language therapist slowly. She's fed through a tube directly into the stomach. We're so grateful for the support of the members here, family, friends, neighbors, and everyone who receives our email updates around the world. Melanie is a world traveler, and this has been an incredible journey so far. All right, if there's no more, then we will now turn in your hymnals. Oh, sorry, first the prayer. I forgot the prayer. So, first, bow with me for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for this lovely sunny morning that we could be here. Not quite the springtime that will come around as far as the song promised us. Thank you for, yes, that we can be together in a warm place this morning and be with all of those people in our church family and extended family, some who are in hospital or personal care homes, and pray with those people who have lost someone in the past week, and help us be help each other as the next song is, and be neighbors to those beside us, and neighbors to the people across the street, and neighbors to people all around the world. As we think of this week, it's been Ukraine, and there's people all over stuck in the middle of struggles for power, and help us be the neighbors to those around us. Amen. And now turn in your hymnals to the blue hymnal, page 362, and please stand. The children could come forward. Ingrid has a story for you.
I have two things today. Does anyone know what that is? Touch it. Does anyone know what it is? Ivan? Well, it's kind of, yeah, it could be a shingle. Okay, we'll say it's a shingle. It's rough. Would you like to hug this like a teddy bear? No. Okay, how about this? Does anyone know what that is? A scarf. It's a very special scarf. My auntie knit it for me. Would you like to snuggle this up close to your cheek? Yes. People are kind of like shingles sometimes. And sometimes people are like scarves. Who likes to be close to people who are like shingles, all rough and scratchy? And how about scarves? Who likes to be close to people who are like scarves? They're warm and fuzzy, and they give you hugs. Yes. Today the grown-ups are going to hear about loving our enemies and loving ourselves. And I've been thinking about this all week and thinking how sometimes we're all like a shingle. Can you remember any time in your life when you've been like a shingle? Scratchy, unpleasant. No one? Yeah. I think if you think a little harder, you probably can think of some mornings, maybe when mom said it's time to go to school and you were a little shingly. Or maybe when they said it's time to eat something you don't really like to eat, like chocolate, you might have been a little shingly then. How does it feel to be a shingle, do you think? Does it feel good to be a shingle? Scratchy. Nobody wants to be near you. Would you rather feel like a scarf? How many of you can remember a time when you've maybe been a scarf to somebody else? Well, you're being scarves now to me because you're sitting here so nice and quietly. That doesn't happen very much in my life, that children actually sit and listen like you guys are. So most of us feel better when we're being a scarf than when we're being a shingle. So what we really and what Jesus really has showed us in his life, Jesus was a scarf all the time. When he met people, even if they were shingles to him, he was a scarf. He hugged them and he loved them and he was kind and gentle to them. And that's the example that we need. That's the example that he would like us to follow, to be scarves. And we'll feel better and the people around us will feel better too. So can we bow our head and pray? Dear Father, help us follow the example that Jesus set for us. Help us to love everyone, friends and enemies alike, so that they will know that we are true children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there Sunday school today? Okay, see ya.
Now we'll take the offering at this time and turn in your bulletins to, on the back page, Jesus, help us live in peace, on the back page of the bulletin.
Thank you.
You should have chosen a song with one more verse, eh? All right, the scripture passages this morning are the first from Leviticus 19, verse 1 to 2, and 9 to 18, which didn't get in there, but Leviticus 19, 1 to 2, and 9 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And then to 9. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of the harvest of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbors or rob them. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And now the quartets will have a song.
Jesus comes with heart to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woe can sadden when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness into day when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Liebes glanz wird nie erbleichen im Liebesschein. Treueste Freundschaft nicht entweichen im Liebesschein.
Heir of Eden, sich errinkt, Gottes Lob im Himmel singt, wo die Sonne nimmer sinkt im Liebesschein. Wenn Liebesschein ins Herz hinein, kann dein Herz vor Freuden singen ins Liebesschein. Wenn Liebesschein ins Herz hinein, kann es anderen Freude bringen und Segen streuen. We may have unfading splendor when love shines in, and a friendship true and tender when love shines in. When the victory shall be won and our life in heaven begun, there will be no need of sun when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in, how the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in, joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in.
Well, between the message of the songs and talking about shingles and scars, I'm not sure I have a whole lot to add to that. I think it's pretty well put together, but we'll give it a shot. Let's take a minute to pray together before we look at this passage. God, we are so grateful for the way that you reach out to touch us in our world and in our lives. Somehow or other, life always gets complicated, but you're always there and help us to sort things out. So help us to think about what it means to love our enemies. Help us to laugh at ourselves when we should. Help us to be scarves when we can. Amen. So, I thought about something good about this weather we've been having. People in Winnipeg are getting to know their neighbors as they stand in line at the corner gas station waiting to use the washroom because their water froze at home. That's good, isn't it? And I guess that's okay. We get so busy we don't have time to get to know our neighbors. And we need to take a little time, so now we have that. It's not like, if you take a look at the story from Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan, it's not like we want to ignore the person that's beat up in the ditch. We just don't want to know they're there. Just, we'll focus here and keep on going and it'll be okay. But God doesn't give us that opportunity. When we follow the way of Jesus, we are called to love our neighbors, and by the time Jesus is finished, there's nobody who doesn't land up in that category. Everybody is our neighbor, and so we've got to sort of warm up being loving to a lot of people. Leviticus 19, which is part of the Holiness Code, which starts in Leviticus 17, in case you want to read the whole thing, talks to us about what it means to be holy. Be holy as I am holy, he says. And then he explains what holy is in the passage that Phil read, and he sums it up at the end by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. So just to pull out a couple of things from that passage, he starts by talking about how in verse 9, about how we need to be thoughtful and kind and respectful and understanding for people in our society who struggle to stay on top of things. The example that he used comes from farming. So the people are farming, they're gathering in the grain and the grapes, and the things that fall, the grain and the grapes that fall on the ground, they're supposed to leave there because there's some people that don't have anything to eat. And so rather than going and picking it up, says leave it there. In fact, let a few extra drop so that these people can come around. Now what they could do is be very diligent farmers, pick it all up, and at the end of the day, take a little bag of grain to the poor people and say, here you go. But no. He wants to treat them with respect. They're going out there to do their own harvesting. And if you read the book of Ruth, it's what it's about. Ruth is going along and gleaning through the field. And you know how that story goes. Ruth is gleaning. Boaz, the guy who owns the field, looks back and say, "Who's that?" And they said, "Ruth." And he says, "Leave a little extra grain." And, well, you all know where that story went. There's a story that I heard coming out of Ukraine in about the 1920s, which I found very powerful. It was a story of one family who had nothing to eat, which was not uncommon. And so they asked the neighbors, "Could we have your potato peels so we can make some soup?" And the people says, "Well, of course." And so they made sure that the potato peels had about half the potato left on them so that these people would have good soup. Caring for people, treating them with dignity and respect when they're people in need. Goes on to talk about being honest. Honest and just in how we deal with people. Now, he said, when there's a problem, you got to say it. It's not like we're sweeping things under the rug. Treating people with respect also invites them to be accountable for what's going on in their life as well. And then he sums it up with this passage, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And we'll come back to that in a minute. The second passage kind of ratchets things up a little bit. Jesus does that. And so he begins by saying, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," which always sounds like a very gruesome kind of thing, doesn't it? You're having a fight with someone, they poke your eye out, you say, "Okay, now I get to poke your eye out." You say, "What kind of rule is this?" And the fact of the matter, it was a law which was meant to limit the amount of retaliation. If you go back in the Bible, you'll find it three times, but the roots of this are actually in the Code of Hammurabi, for those of you who like reading fun things, back in, I think, 2250 BC or something like that. And it's meant to limit the amount of retaliation. Now, you might remember, about a month and a half ago, we mentioned a story coming out of Genesis 4, a story about a fellow who said that he was bragging about how much he could retaliate. He said, "I killed a person for harming me." He says, "If Cain is avenged 7 times, I am avenged 70 times. Lamech, that's his name. Slipped my mind for a moment. And this code is meant to ratchet that back. Which makes sense, right? It's sort of where our current law codes work. So if somebody's done something wrong, you find a punishment that's suitable. So this last week we heard about a couple who had been treating animals poorly in Saskatchewan. I think that was about in 2010. And so the ruling comes down now. He goes to jail for 4 months and she has to pay $21,000, and that's about fair. Well, how they determine that, I'm not sure. Right now, they're trying to figure out what's fair with Vince Lee. So they want to make sure it's appropriate and taking everything into account and not too harsh. And it's difficult, but this is kind of the law that it's based on. A fair response for what you've done. And Jesus said, "You understand that law?" And they go, yeah. And he says, "Well, it's not like that. When people insult you, hit you across the face, you can let it go. You don't always have to get what's coming to you in terms of what's fair. You can let things pass over. When somebody demands something of you, give a little extra." People are going, "What?" And Jesus says, that's what it means to love these people. To love them is to treat them the way God intended them to be instead of just the way that they're acting. Treat them as they can be. The way that God sees them, with God-colored glasses, whatever color that is. Now, that all sounds great, and we've all learned that ever since we were this big in Sunday school. Yeah. But that's not sort of what happens. That's not our visceral response. And as we read through the Bible, we see we're not the only one for whom that is not a visceral response. And so we have people like Esau and Jacob. Jacob's response was one of manipulation. Sort of saying to himself, "Well, I'd like the birthright and the blessing of my father." And so he just kind of twists things and he uses his brother, and he ends up with not a very good relationship with his brother, to say the very least. His brother hates him and wants to kill him. Manipulation is something that sometimes it's just so tempting, right? And the church has done that too. We've sometimes done that with hell. "Be nice, you're going to go to hell." It's manipulation. Another way that we can deal with people is the way that Sarah dealt with Hagar, with which condescending. Sarah, I keep getting the two backwards. Sarah was expecting Isaac, and Hagar had Ishmael, and so she's kind of moving into the family, and Sarah says, oh, no, you don't. And as we talked about Abraham the other day, he just kind of, whatever, and he walks out and goes and watches curling on TV, and Sarah has to deal with this. And Sarah says, acts in a very condescending way. I'm the matriarch here. You're a slave lady. Out you go. And with no thought to her well-being, sort of chucked her out into the desert and said, I don't care. Again, fairly hard on relationships. It's not, that sounds like an extreme example, but we can get condescending really quickly. If you're the one condescending, or if I'm the one that's being condescending, we don't notice it so much. We just kind of sort of exclude people or do inside jokes or whatever. A lot of times, it's an ethnic thing. Went to a wedding a couple of years ago. One of the people involved was Dutch, and they were making a whole bunch of jokes about it. If you aren't Dutch, you aren't much. Hello. But we all have our own way of doing that kind of thing and being condescending to others. And there are times when people walk into a church and should be embraced, and we think we're embracing them, and we're not. We're being condescending by sort of telling inside jokes, as I mentioned, and that kind of thing. Another way we deal with people is with jealousy. Cain and Abel. Abel's gift was acceptable to God. Cain's was not. Cain gets real upset and kills his brother. And again, that's quite hard on a relationship. Didn't treat him the way that he should have. Another way we treat people is by bullying them. Joseph's brothers. Joseph comes out with his nice coat and has a message to give to his brother, all kind of innocent. And his brothers look around and say, we have the power to do whatever we want. We can treat you the way you want. Nobody's around to protect you. And so they did. They bullied him, which was hard on the relationship with him and with the father and all sorts of other people. And again, bullying is something that happens when we have power and we can talk ourselves into thinking it's okay for us to treat people in inappropriate ways, and it's not. Anger is another one. We get into a relationship, and when things don't go our way, up comes the anger. It's like a wall. It goes up, and there's nothing comes through that. We block ourselves up and off, and I think sometimes we use anger because we don't want to deal with the situation. Sometimes, and this is an interesting one, sometimes we deal with others with a self-deprecating attitude. We run ourselves down. And we go to people and we act as if everybody's better than us. There's an interesting story in the Bible about a fellow called Mephibosheth. Not many of you have named your children that, I see. Mephibosheth was an offspring of Jonathan, David's good friend. And Jonathan and his father, King Saul, were in war. They got killed. David becomes king. There's a few other points in the story, but we're just doing the fast track here. And so it was common for kings round up all the progeny of the king before them, kill them so that nobody's going to make a vying for the throne, right? And so David goes out looking for anybody that's related to Jonathan. He has a different agenda, but Mephibosheth doesn't know that. They find him, bring him in, and he says something which is fascinating. He looks at David and he says, "What do you want with a dead dog like me?" Isn't that delightful? I guess he thought he was a dead dog. And it turns out that David, you know, embraces him and puts a plate at the table and says, from now on, you're family and everything's lovely. But when we come to people and put ourselves down, it's hard to have a relationship like that as well. It's awkward for them and we don't put ourselves on par with them. It's hard to be brother and sister in that regard. Once in a while, people insist on treating me like something different. You're the pastor, they say. Okay, you're the deacon or you're the usher or whatever. To walk together, to be able to hold hands as people of God, we need to get beyond putting people above or below us. We need to be able to see them on par. So, and there's 47 more ways that we treat people. How do we go about getting beyond what is our sort of visceral response and love our neighbor? Well, in order to love anybody, we have to experience love. If we don't know what love is, how are we supposed to love anybody else? Now, often we experience that love through other people, but it's usually the love of God which finally gets through to us and affects us and changes us so that we can love other people. We understand that God created humanity as an extension of love. Because God is love, he created us. And he created us to love him and to love each other. And when sin got in and messed that up, God came back, and we see that most clearly in Jesus. And he says, I do love you. And I want you to understand that. And we see that in the way that Jesus lived. Jesus didn't respond with anger or manipulation or any of those other things we talked about. He treated people, like we read in Leviticus, with respect and dignity and honesty. And even when people treated him poorly, he didn't allow that to decide how he was going to respond. He chose himself. And so we see Jesus treating people, whether they were very educated or uneducated, men, women, old or young, foreigners or Jews, he treated them all with respect and dignity. He loved them. He held them accountable. But that's part of love as well, holding people accountable. And so we experience that love of God. We experience what it means to be forgiven, to experience the grace of God, to be adopted as a child of God, to be trusted enough to be part of the church. I love the passage from 1 Peter chapter 2. All of us are living stones being built into a spiritual house. That means God is depending on you and me to be the building material that he uses to create his church. Amazing. Once we have experienced love, there are three things that happen from that. The first very natural thing that happens is that we love God in response. Comes out of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. It's a commandment, but it's something that happens. If we have experienced God's love, then loving God back is a normal thing. And we love God by being obedient and by following the way of Jesus and by being part of his church. The second thing that happens is that we love ourselves. Now, if you were really reading Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics last night, volume 1, chapter 2, he would disagree with me, but he's not here to defend himself, so we'll go my way. I think that once we experience God's love, we learn who we are. We learn how special we are. We are created in the image of God. We were loved deeply by God. We are precious in God's sight. We learn to love ourselves. To love ourselves allows us to have an honest self-evaluation. Once we love ourselves, we can own not only our strengths, but our weaknesses too. Once we love ourselves, we can begin to respond out of a way that we choose rather than a way that reacting to people. And so when Jesus comes along and acts as a servant, we can choose that as well once we've learned to love ourselves. We can put people in front of ourselves, like Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, once we've learned to love ourselves. Really, really important, I think. The third thing that happens finally brings us into verse 18 of Leviticus 19. We learn to love our neighbor. But this is a little different than it first appears. When it says love your neighbor as yourself, it doesn't mean that God loves us, we love ourselves, and from our self-love we channel it out to others. It rather means that when we experience God's loving us and understand what it means, we take God's love and extend that to others. We love others with the love of God the way we have experienced God loving us. So what does that mean? In each of our stories, that looks a little different. Let me give you a couple of circles of neighbors, and then you can expand on that over lunch. One of the circles in our lives, the tightest circle, is family and dearest friends. Parents, siblings, spouse, children, the friends that you share everything with. What does it mean to love those neighbors? Well, it means to draw the best out of them, right? We always say that when people are getting married. Two people get married, they're supposed to draw the best out of each other. And that's what should happen in that circle of neighbors. We hold each other accountable, as I mentioned earlier. We treat each other with dignity and respect. When people treat us in ways that are inappropriate, we don't jump down their throat. We just kind of back up. And very often they realize what's happened and we make repairs. We choose how we respond to them, drawing the very best out of them. Sometimes, as parents, this is, I guess, testimonial, hey? We want so much to give things to our children that we try and we work too hard and we don't spend the time we should with them. And when we love people, we need to sit down and think, what do they really need from us? How can we best show the love of God to them? And sometimes it's different than it looks at first blush. And we need to slow down and ask, what does love look like? Another circle is the church. The church is a place where we come and love our neighbor. And again, it looks like respect and dignity and understanding. And it looks like we're not being condescending and we're not doing anger moves on people. And we're not treating people as less than they are. We come to the church and treat people like God has meant them to be. Bigger circle. The people you work with. The person who puts gas in your car or groceries, puts a bag of groceries in bags. It's maybe the people in our community who have mental illness or people from a different religion or whatever. It's the people that make up our neighborhood. What does it mean to love them? They're our neighbors. Well, now it's getting a little trickier because we're not sure what to do with some of those people. And some of those people we're different than and we're saying, just a minute, you must be wrong. And so I won't treat you well because you're wrong. If people come to our door, this is something I've been working at learning, okay? If people come to our door, whether they're looking for us to support a cause or they're selling widgets or they're from a different religion and trying to convert us, whatever the case, they should walk away feeling respected. That's been a hard one for me to learn. When I go to buy groceries and someone puts the bread at the bottom again and the jar of pickles on top of that, they should still feel respected. When I walk away, I can hold them accountable. Could I please have a different loaf of bread? One that is thicker than this. It's okay to hold people accountable, but they need to feel respected. They need to feel understood and cared for. Their encounter with me, they're not in experiencing the wonderful Gary. They're experiencing the love of God coming through me. Does this make sense? I grew up thinking that people, especially people of another religion, or people who have done bad things, I need to scowl at them. That would be an appropriate Jesus response, to scowl at very least. But that's not what we do. What do we do? I've said this a few times, and I'll say it again a few times. We treat them like the people God has created them to be. And they should see in us not someone who's decided that we are the judge of what they do, but they should see in us the character of God who loves them intensely and longs for them to be all they can be. Broaden the circle a little bit. Our world. Our neighbors are the people who are struggling in Ukraine on both sides. Our neighbors are those who are suffering in Syria, the children who don't have enough to eat. Our neighbors is everyone out there. People who go crazy at Mardi Gras. Everyone. And so how do we love them? How do we reach out? And for those people far away, we need to find ways to respond to them because there's a brokenness that's happened. They are beat up people in the ditch. And how do we respond? And we're so grateful for organizations that help us. Organizations like MCC or Youth for Christ or whoever who reach out in the name of Christ to respond and treat these people in, like God has created them to be, to invite them to be all that they were meant to be. And we are the ones doing that by being supportive and encouraging of these organizations. All right. Jesus makes this really complicated by adding the everybody at the end. Our enemies. How do we love our enemies? Who are our enemies? Well, our enemies are people who want to do us wrong. Our enemies are people that we'd like to hold a grudge against. Our enemies are people who think different than us. Who are our enemies? Doesn't matter. Because the response is the same. We don't respond to people, Jesus says, based on how they respond to us. We respond to people based on who God has created them to be. And so, we turn our enemies into people that we love and care about. We leave the door open for our enemies to experience wholeness that God has meant for all of us to experience, perhaps even through us. The passage isn't coming to give us a bit of a slap in the back of the head and say, smarten up and be nicer. The passage just comes to us and say, you know what? You remember that old gospel song, Channels Only? It's like that. We open ourselves up to allow God to reach through us to everybody that we encounter. And so maybe that's how we start our day. We start our day by saying, God, there's a few people I'm going to bump into that I don't really like very much. There's a few people out there who seem to draw the worst out of me. Help me to reflect your love so that the world would know through us the love of God, inviting them to be children of God, our sisters and brothers. May God give us strength, and may God help us to experience the joy that happens when we treat people the way that God has treated us. Amen. I'd like to invite the group to come and lead us in a song, please.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If mansions of glory.
I'd like to invite you to take your hymn books, find 322, put your finger in there, and please stand for the benediction and the closing song. Now, people of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
strangers.